Welcome to Agent Blue, your comic book explosion podcast. I'm George Green.
I'm Michael Bonanno III.
And today we're here to talk to you about our Justice League movie review. Letting you know right now, spoilers ahead.
All the spoilers.
Hit stop. Hit delete. Control-Alt-Delete. You know, turn your computer off. Don't listen to this if you haven't seen the movie, because we're gonna ruin it for you here. We're not going to ruin it for you. Just, if you don't want to know, don't wait around to find out. But here you go. This is your last warning. Spoilers ahead. So, Michael, what did you think of the movie?
All right. To be honest, my thoughts on the movie would be, it was a good movie, not the best. Not even close to what the hype of the movie made it out to be. However, due to the fact that I read the comics, I feel like it was a different experience for me, seeing that I had filled in the blanks that the movie was missing.
Yeah, I feel like the movie did seem to leave out a couple of key points.
Like in the movie, the people don't know what the Mother Box does.
Nobody knows what the Mother Box does. Yeah. I don't even think Steppenwolf doesn't know what the Mother Box do. He's just, I don't know, I feel like overall, you know, without the comic book knowledge that, you know, you and I share and the other people here have, you wouldn't understand the movie till its full potential.
He says Darkseid, and everybody else, like, I've watched movie reviews, I've talked to people who don't know comics but watch the movie, and they're just like, Darkseid who?
Yeah, who's Darkseid? You know, nobody knows that you got one of the most powerful beings in DC Comics being foreshadowed here.
And you only say his name, but no mention of what he does, who he is.
Not a single thing. And, I don't know, that was just, it's a major gripe about the movie. I mean, you see all these DC characters coming together. It's fantastic. The movie is a lot of fun. But they do leave out some key details that really
would have pushed the movie along and made it actually worth it. Yeah. I did hear that the deleted scenes that made it so short, 1 hour and 59 minutes, the ones that were taken out would have explained more, but I guess we're going to have to wait till the ultimate edition of the movie comes out to actually know.
And once the movie picks up some steam and it comes about time for the DVD to be released, we will see some of those scenes before we get the ultimate edition. And I don't know about you, but as soon as that ultimate edition drops, I'm going to get it.
I want to see. Already pre-ordered it.
Okay, now you're ahead of me, but I'm just going to go and buy it because, you know, I like my physical copies of things. So let's get right into it then. The movie kind of opens up with a scene of Batman talking to a couple of kids for their podcast. I mean, come on now. You know, that was a little bit of a story about us. I don't know if you guys knew that. We had a small scene in the movie. The little kids' names were Michael and George. This is a lie that I'm telling you guys right now, but it makes me feel good about myself.
And it was also not Batman. It was Superman.
Yeah, same difference.
No, it's not. Superman is dead. Batman is alive and creating the League of Justice.
The Leagues of Justice. So it opens up with Superman, and they're talking to a couple of kids about his podcast. And
the kids seemed very Hollywood, the way they delivered their lines. Didn't really seem believable. You know, the one kid in the video that you see at the end of the beginning montage of Superman saving the world, the kid goes, "Hey, Superman, what's your favorite part about Earth?" And he just turns and smirks at the camera. And before he could say anything, it cuts and goes into
movie. They're not going to say his favorite part about Earth. What does he like about Earth? What do you think Superman likes about Earth? I think it's Lois Lane.
Yeah, but he can't say Lois Lane if he's in Superman form, because we know that he's with Lois as Clark, not as Superman. So if he said that, that would give away his secret identity to an extent. I mean, most people don't actually realize this, but the glasses don't just make him, oh, you see what you want to see. But it actually changes his eye color a bit and slightly hypnotizes people into believing that they're not seeing what Superman looks like.
Right, they're not seeing the actual Kal-El that we all see, you know, from our outside point of view.
We're not being hypnotized.
We're not being hypnotized. We're not caught off guard by good old Supes there. So, movie continues. We have Batman trying to get the league started. I mean, this is a big portion of the movie here.
It started at the end of Batman v Superman and continues in throughout this movie until we get the core member of the League in this universe all together.
But I feel like in the movie, they didn't focus heavily enough on getting the characters together. They focused very hard on it. And it was about half the movie of Batman just trying to collect all of the other metahumans.
But it didn't seem like there was much of a time for these people to get acquainted with each other and become an actual team.
Right.
They didn't fight amongst each other like in what we talked about last week, Justice League War. There was no fighting amongst each other.
Well, there was a little bit. I mean, Aquaman was a bit gritty, a bit harsh in the movie.
He seemed more like Batman from the first movie than Batman feels now.
Yeah, Batman took a kind of a 180 in this film, and he is a lot more lighthearted.
Granted, I don't actually hate that. I mean, it doesn't seem as believable, but I don't hate it because if you read the story of Superman Doomsday or saw the animated movie, you see that's how Batman actually switched when Superman died.
Right.
Like, there's a scene in the animated movie where he's just like, I couldn't have asked for anybody to be a better brother than you have. I looked up to you. So I guess seeing that side of Batman in the movie makes sense, but not within this universe.
Yeah, I mean, he did take a bit of a backseat role to the rest of the Justice League, I feel like, in myself. He did kind of pick up later in the movie, but it did focus more around the other characters, which I did like, because they did a whole movie with Batman and Superman.
Well, they need to, introduce us to the characters. We need to, feel for them.
But I also feel like Batman in this movie wasn't as Batman-esque as in Batman vs. Superman. I know at the end of Batman v. Superman,
He kind of lightened up a little bit.
He lightens up a little bit, and he doesn't really take on Doomsday as much as Wonder Woman and Superman does. But no, I understand.
His only part was the
he's just shooting grenades.
Shooting grenades, the kryptonite spear. That was pretty much all Batman did for the fight of Doomsday.
So, I mean, his preparations did help. But it wasn't for Doomsday himself. He made that stuff. It just so happened to be a coincidence that
we could use it against Doomsday.
Yeah, I mean, so then we get into our Justice League, and Batman still kind of takes a backseat role. I mean, I figured since there were parademons, that Batman would just be blowing these dudes up left and right, because nobody cares. You know, it's not like it's a human, so, like, the ratings people won't care if Batman cuts the head off of a parademon, because he's not a human. You know, it's not as much, like, violence. It's
it was
like,
green when it... When the...
Yeah, it's kind of like cartoon violence. So I figured he would be doing a lot more, but I feel like Batman just didn't do a lot in this movie, and he just didn't do as much as I would want to see.
He felt more like a boss than a leader.
Exactly.
He got everybody together, but didn't really tell people what to do. He let the person who was the resident expert on Steppenwolf kind of lead more than he did.
Yeah, Wonder Woman took a bit of a lead in the movie, and it was not a bit of a surprise to me, but I think it was a bit of a different role than we've seen Wonder Woman in, because in the movie itself, Wonder Woman wasn't really the leader. She just does what she wants to do, and so I think that she got her time to shine in this movie. But I just wanted to see a little bit more of Batman.
And so, like, one of the things that happened, like, the comedy inside when they were together talking about what they should do and shouldn't do, the comedy behind it really seemed a bit off with the rest of the tone. They were trying to make it happy, but they also had from, Zack Snyder's direction, where it was more of a gritty film. So when Joss Whedon came in and added a little bit more of the comedy aspect, it kind of switched up what the movie was doing. It kind of fell off, but it was good. I mean, the world isn't really happy nor too dark to live in, so I guess it kind of works in reality, but with the pacing of a movie,
Not so much. So we do get to meet the Flash. We do get to meet Cyborg.
Before we go deeper into who we meet, I think we're missing a part of the story where, we actually kind of figure out who Steppenwolf is a little bit. Because the people who were, you know, hoping and praying for Green Lantern to show up kind of got their wish.
We did get a Green Lantern. We did get a form of... We got a Green Lantern. I can say it that way.
A Green Lantern of Sector 2814, but not Hal Jordan or John Stewart.
We don't know if this is Sector 2814. I mean, technically speaking,
This was Earth that Wonder Woman was talking about.
This is true.
Amazons, we had the Atlanteans, the Tribe of Man, which is what we are, and the Green Lanterns. And the only way the Green Lanterns would have been a battle in here is if they were part of the Sector 2814.
But if they knew Steppenwolf was coming to Earth... And they knew about
it's
his,
a big problem.
So it
there
could've...
were definitely more Green Lanterns than we saw in the movie. Let's be real, because we couldn't have like we have one Green Lantern and like 1,700 humans and all the Amazons and all the Atlanteans. What one Green Lantern isn't gonna do much.
Yeah, one Green Lantern.
That Green Lantern dies almost immediately.
Pretty much almost immediately. Like the war starts and the Green Lantern just dies.
So there had to be more.
There had to be, but he did do a bit of the business. We saw him in there. His suit was a lot cooler than the Ryan Reynolds Green Lantern.
It looked more realistic. Mm-hmm. The CGI was actually good in this part. Not to say anything about the CGI
mustache.
With Superman's mustache.
Especially the little face was funny looking. We also get a scene of what could potentially be Zeus or the Shazam wizard.
We had the gods. Come and fight Steppenwolf as well.
Yeah, so we did get that scene where everyone was thinking that someone's going to hurl a lightning bolt. Well, we saw that. You know, the lightning bolt has been hurled. I'm assuming it was Zeus.
I think it was. You know, I think that's kind of what she said.
Safe assumption. She said gods.
Yeah, she said gods, but so, like I think that one specifically might have been
Zeus.
But yeah.
Yeah.
But that's literally all we got from that scene. Like, we didn't get much else. We got these guys trying to fight and, like,
They didn't really explain Steppenwolf that much. You don't get much of his motivation other than he's been exiled.
Unless you have read the comics, in which case you know what's going on. But unless you read the comics. It's...
Right. I believe that after Steppenwolf is exiled, that's around the time where Darkseid kills his own mother.
Mm-hmm.
That's just before Darkseid brings Steppenwolf back to Apocalypse and has him lead his armies.
As the general instead of just his uncle.
Yeah. But... At the end of the movie, we see Steppenwolf getting eaten by the parademons and a big old boom tube.
Well, they smell the fear.
And pull him away. So we don't know if possibly Darkseid is going to be pissed at Steppenwolf for failing so epically.
But the end of the movie, it didn't really seem like they were going to go with the route of Darkseid
for the
next movie.
He's going to be taking a back seat. But we're going to talk about that a little later. Let's get into...
The characters
again,
with
the Flash,
Wonder Woman, Aquaman,
Cyborg.
Well, my thought with Barry Allen, the Flash, I liked it, but it really felt like he was kind of like Billy from Power Rangers, if you guys saw that movie. He seemed like he was on the spectrum, and it really bothered me that he seemed that way. Because he doesn't have friends... And he's never been in a fight, so his reaction to everything was more, like, awkward.
But you see his development as a character in the movie. I feel like he's got one of the biggest turnarounds in that movie alone.
We'll see him grow even more, especially in the next movie.
In the next movie, yeah, he's going to grow seriously. But I think in this movie, he does grow quite a bit from the first fight to the end credit scene, really. Because in the beginning, he's talking to Batman about, you know, he's not much of a fighter. He's just pushed a couple of people and run away. Which, I mean, as the Flash, you can get away with that, you know.
Unless you were trained by Batman or anyone else.
Right.
Which he eventually does in the comics. But as the Flash, with these powers, I mean, if you're not trained in that, that's probably your best bet.
Right.
That is your best bet to win.
Run and push and run away. You see later in the movie, he does fight a few parademons, and he does kind of make his rounds, you know. He works his way up as a little bit more of a hero. He works up more towards Batman and Wonder Woman's level. I mean, he's not close. All right. He's definitely got a long road ahead of him for the hero business.
He's not even as fast as the Flash will become.
Yeah.
I mean, like, when they actually resurrect Superman, when Superman shows up again... Superman's faster than the Flash.
Superman is quick.
Superman is faster than the Flash.
That was one of my favorite scenes of the movie, the resurrection of Superman.
They used a mother box.
They used a mother box, but they also did use the Kryptonian ship like they did with Doomsday. So I get, like, it took kind of like both sides of the story and merged into one.
So in that sense, yes, with the theory that we brought up last time, Darkseid would have a part in Superman's return, but it wasn't to the extent of what we thought. He was still buried.
It was mainly just Cyborg running the numbers and figuring out how to do it.
We have a slight chance it'll work.
Yeah. So Superman gets resurrected.
They dig him up.
They dig him up too,
and,
which
and
was
very just like, this feels wrong, right?
Yeah,
this kind of feels wrong that we're digging up a dead body.
And then this is a little bit of banter between Barry Allen and Victor Stone, Cyborg. This is like the first time you really get to see them talk to each other, like a full blown conversation. And it's a bit funny how these two characters connect because they're both younger in age, so they do connect. On a good
they're
level.
Both college age. They're both college age. They upped Victor's age to college instead of high school all-star. And Barry is a college age student. They made him younger.
Right.
So they're kind of on the same age.
This is also a pretty fun scene, too, because Barry mentions to Cyborg that he goes, I could do this a lot faster.
But
it feels wrong. You know, so it's just a funny conversation. So after they dig up Superman, they bring him over to the Kryptonian ship, and
they have a discussion of whether what they should do.
Yeah,
should
Wonder
they
Woman,
really, should they really be doing put that you know, that box in there and show him life again? But it ends up being that way. Batman gets his way.
Yeah, Wonder Woman was
severely
against it. Wonder Woman did not think this was a good idea, but Batman knew that without Superman, they would not win. They would not beat Steppenwolf. I mean, Wonder Woman put up a fight to Steppenwolf, but she couldn't keep her own. And with all those parademons around,
again, it took gods, man, Green Lanterns, Atlanteans, and Amazons to win the first time.
Yes.
You really think
five
people are gonna win against Steppenwolf?
No.
It's not gonna happen.
Even if two of them are, you know, above
god tier,
you know,
almost god tier,
you know, and then you got Flash and Cyborg. Cyborg himself was quite powerful in the movie.
Well, he also is able to communicate with the
you know
technology of Steppenwolf.
I was definitely worried for Cyborg. I mean, I feel like
Cyborg was most believable to me.
He was, and he was probably also my most
very
favorite.
surprised about how good he is.
So they tell Flash that he needs to run and touch.
He needs to touch the mother box the second it touches the water.
To give it enough charge to start up the ship so that it can resurrect Superman. Because the ship itself does not have enough power because Lex Luthor fried it when creating Doomsday.
Yeah.
So it happens, and just like comic book fashion, first try, perfect. And Superman is resurrected. Flies out of the ship, flies over to his...
Doesn't know who he is.
Memorial.
Doesn't know anything of what's going on. So, you know, he sees that, kind of breaks some stuff. And then the newly kind of formed, maybe quasi-Justice League shows up to try to stop him and show him the, you know, who he is. They all go up and Superman is just like, no. And Flash is just like, maybe I can do something. And Superman is faster than the Flash.
Yep.
Way faster.
Superman is pretty much holding Cyborg, Wonder Woman, and Aquaman. And at the same time. So Flash is like, all right, now it's my time to shine. And Flash goes and runs. And he's going to run around Superman. And I'm assuming he's probably going to try to punch him.
Or push him from
and
behind.
Push him. And so he's running up next to Superman. And
he just turns
his head and
at the Flash, and the Flash starts freaking out a little bit.
His face is like, oh man, like, what did I just do?
He is faster than I am, and then uses everybody and hits the Flash and breaks more stuff.
Yep. So Superman is faster than the Flash currently, or at least fast as the Flash, but with his strength it gives him a above above average.
You know, a step up in level.
Yeah, he's definitely above Flash's abilities. But Flash is still young. Superman's got a lot of experience.
Yeah.
As Superman. I mean, he's got two whole movies under his belt now.
He's just recently got the Flash power, so he's not going to be as strong as what he will eventually become, as the fastest man alive.
Yeah, for sure.
He's still the fastest human alive, but not the fastest man alive.
So let's talk about Cyborg and his coming up to this world. So we saw a little bit of it in Batman v Superman, how Cyborg kind of comes to be. Little plot hole that I saw in Batman v Superman, the scene where we see Cyborg, he's really what? Just like a torso, a right arm, and a head, right?
Half right arm, head, and the torso, yeah.
Well, in Justice League, we see a little bit more of Cyborg's body than we did in Batman v Superman. We see like nubs for legs and nubs for arms. So I don't know if anybody else picked up on that. I know I did, and it kind of bugged me because, like, why?
It would have bugged me if I really was just like,
he's got like he's got a full body now, and it was just like, okay, you know, it was a little iffy.
When I saw that, I was just like, just, you know, a mistake in production. Mm-hmm. It's not.
Another relation to the comics, though, Cyborg's abilities do come to him
from the Steppenwolf Darkseid powers.
Right, and he does, like, upgrade himself.
He says, I go to sleep and I wake up with more powers than I had before.
So he keeps getting, like, small upgrades as as the days go on. And then, you know, you kind of see him at a bit of a pinnacle in the movie. And then right at the end, he gets another bump up as well, and it gives him more of his comic book look.
Well, I think he did that to himself. That wasn't part of the, you know, the regular upgrade that the mechanics are doing itself. I think he was actually doing that the way he is.
I mean, that could be too.
He's got all of Bruce Wayne's money at his disposal because he is part of the Justice League now. Yeah. So, I want to look a little bit cooler. Hey, Bats, you want to give me some money?
Easy, yeah. So, Cyborg, I mean, straight from the jump, right when you kind of like first or interactions with Cyborg, especially with Diana, Cyborg's a bit more powerful than you assume right off the get-go. He already sees everything. He knows Bruce Wayne's looking for him. He knows Bruce Wayne is Batman. He knows who Diana is. He knows who everybody is already, because of the Mother Box technology, and he's able to access all of this information, even though Batman's probably got some secure servers.
Yes, but he was able to hack into the...
And he can see not everything.
I don't even think it was more like hacking. I think he was just granted access.
Yeah, just on accident.
To the Batcave.
Yeah, so it's just like, oh, okay, yeah, here's everything. So, I mean, he knows who everybody is, and he knows that Wonder Woman is looking for him. So he's like, hey, why are you looking for me? Like, what's up, man?
It's like, are you trying to kill me? And she's like, if I was trying to kill you, I would have done it at the lake.
At the lake, yeah.
And he's just like, you saw me.
So
I'm not as stealthy as I thought I was.
So they do meet up, and Wonder Woman's asking Cyborg for his help. You know, there's a fight coming, and they're going to need as much help as they can get. And Cyborg's like, if I see anything, I'll let you know. You know, and he tells them that they're sticking to the dead zones, where satellites and et cetera cannot find them. So it does narrow down their search, but Cyborg at first does not want to help.
Well, why would he? He definitely feels more believable as this problem. He feels like an outcast. He doesn't have the life that he once had. He's viewed as deceased because of the accident.
Mm-hmm.
Did it say what the accident was?
Car accident.
It did say it.
He got into a car accident and they exploded. And then, you know, his motivation to join the team was that his father was kidnapped when Steppenwolf was searching for the Mother Box. So that was his motivation to join the team, and he joins up. And, you know, him, Flash, Wonder Woman and Batman all go into Gotham Harbor, and this is where they first encounter Steppenwolf. We know Batman has already talked to Aquaman. Aquaman does not want to join up. Aquaman's like, oh, you know, screw the Earth. Screw the people above the sea.
I'm going to stay right here in my little harbor town where nobody can leave except for apparently Batman, who can come and go as he wishes.
As he pleases, yeah.
How did he do that?
He's got money. Batman's power.
Well, yeah, he's got money, but like, if you... There can't be any airports. There can't be any landing place if
Batman doesn't need to land. He'll just jump out the plane and just land on his feet. So Aquaman,
because Batman.
Yeah, so Aquaman doesn't want to help. But a recycled part of the story, Steppenwolf goes and steals the mother box from Atlantis. And this is where we first meet Mira.
Yeah.
And I was really excited to see more of the Atlanteans in this movie, but we really only see Mira and Aquaman. They have a small talk about...
I thought that was weird, though, their talk, because the only way they were able to talk was creating an air bubble around them where they go in and they talk. And that's actually kind of a problem, if you ask me, because it's like, how are they going to do the Aquaman movie? Are they, how are they going to talk if that's the way? That's going to be really annoying. Like,
I think
you can't say anything unless you put an air bubble.
I think they'll be able to talk underwater. But I think for just... maybe they just wanted to show Mera's powers a little bit.
It was like, this is a secret conversation. So yeah, the air bubble kind of like filtered out. Nobody else can hear it.
Maybe that was it. So there could be a couple little things. Hopefully they'll explain that later. And the whole Aquaman movie isn't people putting up air bubbles to talk.
That'd be annoying.
It would be. So we do see Mera's powers. She is very powerful. She by herself holds off Steppenwolf and the Parademons for a small amount of time, which is no small feat, even for Wonder Woman. She couldn't even do it by herself. So knowing her power level, knowing that Aquaman and all them have already been a bit more established, kind of like Wonder Woman herself, is going to be exciting to see in the Aquaman movie. And
still
especially
think
because
I'm more excited for the Flash movie.
I don't know. I like Aquaman. I like Mira. So this is where Aquaman joins the team. So all of the current members, excluding Aquaman, are in the Gotham Harbor going after Steppenwolf. They're trying to save all of the humans that Steppenwolf has captured and trying to torture to find out where the last mother box is, because he knows that the humans have it, and he has Silas Stone, Victor Stone's father, in with them. So this is where the scene from the trailer comes in with Batman talking to the Flash about not, you know, having any fighting skills.
Hey, the most I've ever done is push people and run.
So Batman's like, just save one. And Flash is really confused. He's like, what? He's like, yeah, just save one person. And he goes, then what? He goes, you'll know what to do. And obviously he means you're going to save one person, and then, okay, I'm just going to save them all. You know. So he saves all the people, Cyborg and Flash, get all the humans out of there.
Which honestly makes sense. Like, you've got all these very good fighters. You got the Batman. You've got Cyborg, who can, you know, create weapons out of himself. Aquaman, a fighter. You got Wonder Woman, a fighter. But what about the people who, the hostages? What about those guys?
Yeah.
Well, obviously, we got a speedster able to just run and take them out before anybody else
even
reads
it. Anybody even notices.
Exactly.
So
screw the fighting, Barry. Just go save them.
Real quick scene. This is the first time Cyborg and Alfred kind of meet. Cyborg jumps in Batman's little spider machine. I think it's called the Nightcrawler or something like that.
Says, hey, Alfred, do I know you, sir?
Do I know you? Because I'll take it from here. And he launches a couple missiles at Steppenwolf. Steppenwolf knocks the first one, grabs the second one, and he's like, oh, you guys and your primitive weapons. And then launches it into the side of the wall where Batman and Flash figure out that, oh man, we're underwater right now. We're about to get flooded. So they're all running back to get into this machine. And that's when Aquaman comes in and just kind of sticks his trident in the ground, and he's holding back the water with all of his might. This is a good
that
scene.
That was part of the leaked footage.
Yes,
that scene was in the leaked footage. I remember telling you guys that I wouldn't look up anything for this movie, and I didn't. I kept my promise. But my friends are mean to me, so they kept tagging me and everything.
Yeah, it's
and
okay.
I was forced to see it.
I saw that footage, too.
I was forced to see it. I'm sorry, guys. I knew the movie already.
It's okay. So, this is a kind of an interesting scene for Aquaman, because this is where you see, okay, maybe he doesn't have as much control over the water as people think. Because, if you saw Mera, she had a lot of control over that water, and I mean, I know it's a lot of water, but Aquaman should have been able to hold that for at least a little bit longer.
Well, I mean, let's take a look at it. I mean, you don't know this in the movie. Again, this is part of me filling in the blanks because I know the comics. If you look at it, Mira, entirely Atlantean. But Aquaman is half human. So you really think he's going to have all the strength? Like, no.
No, but...
It's the same problem with Jonathan Kent, Superman's child in the comics. He doesn't have all the powers of his father, and they're on and off. So, like, being half-human is kind of a disadvantage in the case of also being a godlike character.
I get that. I feel like the movie just did a little bit of a poor time explaining things. The movie was good.
They needed to explain it for the audience who don't know comics.
I don't know if they were just trying to go for a shorter movie. I don't know if it was the whole Zack Snyder thing. How he stopped.
Warner Brothers was pushing it to be shorter.
You know, so
Zack Snyder had a 3-hour version, I believe.
And I would have sit in that movie for 6 hours, you know, to see all of it.
These are our favorite characters. We're literally wearing Batman and Flash shirts right now.
We had to. It's how it works. So after all of this, they work on escaping from the tunnels that they're in, and they kind of retreat back to their little lair, defeated. And then, you know, they're all a bit sore about it. Aquaman's a little rough. This is, like, the first time everyone's, like, interacting with each other. We got Cyborg, Aquaman, Flash, Wonder Woman, and Batman all together in the same room.
I believe this is where Aquaman starts speaking and then accidentally gets his foot wrapped in the lasso of truth.
This is before... That's around the time where they're talking about Superman. They're going for one last battle, and they're getting ready to get Superman, and Aquaman is touching the lasso of truth. I think he's sitting on it. And he starts telling everybody how he really feels. He's got this really rough exterior, but this interior is like he's happy to be with all these other characters, which was a really good scene. You know, it kind of made things better in the movie to say, you know.
However, the fact that it's comedic in a scene that was like prior to this, not comedic, kind of felt out of place, but it worked, but also didn't. As I was talking about earlier with the comedy in the movie, kind of not touching base properly, but also working in some odd sense.
Right, the real comedic release for this movie was Barry Allen, the Flash. He was probably the best character, especially for the comedic level, because in the comic books, he's the same way he is in the movie.
Except for a little bit more confident in who he is.
In the comics, he's a lot more confident, but he's also brand new with
this.
He's
just started. Again, it's been like,
so his confidence hasn't come yet. So this is the time where they decide, let's go get Superman. And then all this stuff happens. They fight. The Flash tries to beat Superman up, but Superman's too fast. And Batman is like, all right, time to bring out the big guns, right? But before the big guns show up, Superman... Boom, comes up, grabs Batman right by his little face, and
he's like, "You won't let me live. Now you won't let me die."
He knows. At least he recognizes somebody. You know, so that's a good thing. That's a bit of the scene where, okay, so Superman is still Superman, right? There's still a little piece of him in there, but he's a little angry.
More Kal-El than Clark.
Yeah, definitely more Kal-El than Clark. And then this is where the big guns show up. Where, you know, you think that it's going to be Alfred in...
With a kryptonite missile?
Yeah, something stupid like that. You think they're going to really about to hurt Superman. But no, Lois Lane shows up.
Clark!
And so Clark just kind of chucks Batman off to the side, and he lands hard. All right.
But of course he's fine, because Batman.
But being the only human, it's definitely going to hurt. And Clark runs into Lois Lane. They talk for a quick, brief moment, and then they fly off. You know, Lois is like, let's go home. And they fly off to Clark's mother's house.
Which is sold.
Which has been foreclosed on.
No, it was sold.
It was foreclosed on. They foreclosed it. You know, if you saw the sign, it said foreclosed. So it definitely wasn't sold yet.
All right.
And I don't think he knows this quite yet. You know,
no, he definitely went there. Like, you didn't see the sign in that scene.
Yeah, they're talking. And then, you know, Superman's like, did you tell my mother? And she's like, yeah, obviously he knew she was coming. And then, you know, 10 minutes later, after Superman's already seen her, she shows up and, you know, all big surprise. You know, everyone's got to gather together. And then Lois is like, all right, I think it's time for you to go.
I'm upset that you are normal again, because that means I have to let you
go. Yeah, I have to let you go.
Now you got to risk your life again.
And this is where the Justice League is traveling to, I believe they're going somewhere in Russia. This little town that Steppenwolf has already got all three mother boxes together, and it has started to re-terraforming to make it look like Apocalypse. And it looks awesome. This scene in the movie is probably my most favorite. It's visually stunning. I mean, you got all these weird, like, things coming out of the ground and making new shapes and new forms of the earth. They have a little forest field around them.
A different type of plant.
Yeah, there's different...
Don't let your kids touch those
plant
plants.
Life.
Don't do that.
So, Batman's telling the League, all right, no Superman, he's a no-show. We're going to have to do this ourselves. I'm going to go blow the force field. You guys take out Steppenwolf, get those mother boxes apart. Cyborg knows how to get the mother boxes apart. He knows that there's going to be an explosion. All right, he tells the people that you probably shouldn't be super close when this happens. So Batman goes in and busts open the force field, breaks everything loose, and he has gotten all the parademons to follow him. We find out that the parademons don't like the sound of sirens very much. So they definitely were following Batman. And Batman had every single parademon on Earth after him at this point. And he is just running in the Batmobile. And Wonder Woman, Cyborg, Flash, and Aquaman noticed this. That Batman's plan was to get all the parademons away so the final four could fight Steppenwolf and defeat him without any, you know, bother by anybody else. But Wonder Woman's like, well, Batman's going to get himself killed.
Yeah, that was definitely a suicide mission.
It was 100% suicide.
You don't get into your car with a bunch of sirens and have a whole bunch of parademons run after
thousands,
you.
Thousands upon thousands upon thousands, probably millions.
You are asking to be killed and or turned into a parademon.
Batman, you can't say because Batman at this point, because you know damn well he was going to die. He was going to die. He, you know for a fact Batman was dead. And then the League shows up and saves him. And they're like, yeah, we weren't going to save you, but Wonder Woman made us do it. Batman was like, all right, fine, let's go do this as a team then. And then they go in and fight Steppenwolf. And they're really trying at first. And they look like they're making it do. But they're really, really trying. And that's when we have good old Supes show up. Drops down and makes Steppenwolf look like... nothing. Make Steppenwolf look like Batman made the guys in the warehouse look in Batman v Superman. He made them look like paper people. Alright. Now, I get Superman's very strong.
But he just woke up.
But did they have to do Steppenwolf dirty like that? Like, Superman made Steppenwolf look like he was fighting a baby.
Superman made... it looked like Steppenwolf was the baby.
He
was baby Darkseid.
He was getting pummeled by Superman. And then Superman's like, oh no, there's people in trouble. And just runs off and goes to save them. And then Flash is like, oh, let me go save them too. And so Flash runs over to go and save these people. And this is the first time that Superman and Flash kind of have a bit of a one-on-one time. And these two characters probably have the best connection in the whole movie. Out of any two characters, this was my favorite, for sure.
They definitely get along well, I mean, with the end credits scene.
I mean, they...
we'll get to that later.
We'll get to that at the end. They definitely have one of the best connections in the movie. Just because, like, I feel like Superman's met someone that finally can keep up with him. I think that's what he's wanted.
In a sense,
you know?
He can physically keep up with his
literally,
speed.
He literally can keep up with his speed, which is cool.
And at that speed, Flash could also punch more hard than Superman?
maybe, we'll find out.
If we get the infinite mass punch, I want to see that.
But you see, Flash moving a car, and then you see Superman... one's up Flash by moving an entire building. And Flash is like, are you serious?
Like, That was too funny. Okay.
Flash is running like full speed. And then out of nowhere, it's just Superman.
No, he wasn't going full speed. He said he wasn't because then they would burn up.
Yeah, so
they would have burned up.
He's moving quick. And then you just see Superman just carrying a building next to him. And Flash is
the Flash's face is just like, are you kidding me?
Oh my goodness. Like, oh my. And it was funny. It was a really funny scene. It definitely got a good few chuckles out of me, for sure. And then we go back to
the fight with Steppenwolf and the League.
Wonder Woman and Aquaman fighting a bit of a broken Steppenwolf. You know, he's not really on his game now because he just got pummeled by Superman. But
really pummeled.
Wonder Woman and Aquaman are holding their own against him, finally. Batman's fighting
Steppenwolf is kind of a little bit beat up, so of course they can do it. They stood a chance slightly when he was at his full game, so I mean, it's going to be a lot easier for them to do it now.
Batman and Cyborg are working on getting the mother boxes apart. Cyborg is pulling the trying to get the mother boxes apart, and Batman is trying to protect him from the parademons, because that's where they're all going. Then Superman and Flash show up. Flash helps Cyborg. Superman beats up Steppenwolf even more. This is probably like my favorite fight scene. This is like where you really see Superman be Superman. I mean, you see a bit of it in Man of Steel, but
he didn't. He didn't like first strike. He didn't like start off winning immediately. At first, when Steppenwolf grabbed them, like he had him by the throat, and like he was. There's another joke. He was just like, "I'm glad to be alive," and then he gets thrown by Steppenwolf. He's like, "Nope, scratch that. I want to be dead."
No, that was at the end when the mother boxes explode.
Oh, snap. There you go.
So, Superman kind of gets Steppenwolf down a little bit. Wonder Woman and Aquaman kind of take over the rest of the fight. And Superman goes to help Cyborg pull the mother boxes apart. And they're having a quick talk. And Cyborg's like, hey, just letting you know, this is going to hurt. After you pull these apart, you'll see your opportunity, but they're going to blow up and it's going to hurt.
Yeah.
And Superman's, ready to take that risk because
he's Superman.
So they pull them apart. Boom. Big explosion. Parademons are defeated. Steppenwolf is defeated. You got Cyborg laying on one side, Superman laying on the other side, and Superman's laying there, and he's like, oh, man. He goes,
Scratch that, I'd rather be dead.
I'd rather be dead. And then everyone gets a good chuckle. You know, everyone's like, okay, the day's won.
Except for the critics who thought that was stupid.
Yeah, good chuckle. and then, Superman goes back over to Steppenwolf, and Batman's like, do you smell that? And they're like, yeah, it's fear. And then all the parademons go over and attack Steppenwolf. And then a boom tube opens up.
They realize then that it's fear that causes the
parademons to attack.
And Steppenwolf, this whole movie, was in control of the fear surrounding.
Except for when Superman beat the piss out of Steppenwolf, and now Steppenwolf is afraid of Superman. Which is not good if you're the villain, especially the general of a massive army led by a god.
Whose only way of winning is if you are the master of fear.
And not being the master of... So you can't be afraid of Superman and run a whole army that runs off of fear. Like, it don't work that way. But knowing this, it kind of has a funny tie-in to Batman v Superman during the nightmare scene. This explains a lot. I remember mentioning before how Batman v Superman, the nightmare scene, kind of takes place in three different worlds, really. You got the present day, which was Batman v Superman, the alternate future, which was the nightmare scene, and then the current future, which is Justice League.
Yeah.
I think somewhere in the Justice League movie or somewhere along the lines of Steppenwolf attacking Earth, I think that they got Superman resurrected, but Batman never got Lois Lane to meet Superman when he was resurrected. Yes. He just brought a gun or something to try and kill Superman with and lost.
Which is why the Flash went back in time and said, get Lois, she's the key. She's the key, the reason why we're here, and find us. You also said that in the theory that maybe he didn't grab all of the Justice League members in this alternate reality.
Maybe he didn't grab them all, yeah.
Because of that fact.
Just because at the end of the movie where Steppenwolf fears Superman, being in, like, if you read the Injustice storyline, everybody fears Superman. He gets the Yellow Lantern ring, and it's run off of fear, and he is now one of the most powerful beings. I think this is beginning of year three or end of year three.
I think it was beginning.
So
yeah, it was beginning because, he gets it from Sinestro because honorary Yellow Lantern, but Wonder Woman's just like, no, that's not how we played this game. And she gets him to crush it.
Yeah. But, so I think that in the nightmare scene with his Superman soldiers and the parademons both working on the same side, I think that they were controlled by Superman because everyone was fearing
him. He was running fear.
So I think that's a theory. I would have loved to see them debunk or, provide more truth to that theory. I hope they do in the future, but I don't know if they are.
I honestly think, for me, I don't know what the rumors you heard were, but I really don't think that they'll ever step back with the nightmare sequence because we kind of served the purpose of how to stop that dream.
Right.
With the Flash and having the Justice League occur.
But I heard I heard some rumors that there's a potential that there's a Zack Snyder scene that was cut out of the movie that does explain the nightmare scene a little bit more.
Well, I wouldn't
it
doubt
doesn't,
that.
It doesn't say anything about direct tie-ins. It just says that there is or was a mention of it somewhere in the movie during the Zack Snyder cut. So that's another reason why I'd want to see like the Ultimate Edition with every scene that was deleted, or at least any scene that would make
sense. I'm kind of nervous about the Ultimate Edition, though. I mean, like, think of it. You've got... if the Ultimate Edition will have both the deleted scenes from Zack Snyder's and Joss Whedon's, so how well would it fit?
I don't think it would fit well, because I heard that Zack Snyder was going almost a completely different way than Joss Whedon.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The Ultimate Edition might be a lot different. Maybe there's gonna... like, the Ultimate Edition will have two different versions of the movie, Ultimate Edition with all Joss Whedon stuff, and Ultimate Edition with all of Zack Snyder's stuff.
Another gripe that I had is Joss Whedon is a very good director. I mean, he did the
First Avengers.
The First Avengers.
Which was absolutely fantastic.
That movie did what? $260 million opening weekend box office?
Was it the most... didn't it break a record?
I'm pretty sure it was one of the highest grossing opening weekends of all time. One of them.
Not the most,
but I think it was within the top five, which is, for a movie, is fantastic. Especially a comic book movie. Comic book movie alone. Like, unless you're talking like Batman alone, it's probably the only movie that it's ever beaten.
Yeah. The Dark Knight Rises. Those were the ones that broke records.
Yeah.
But that's because it was more realistic, and they just threw Batman into our world.
So I just feel like Joss Whedon didn't do his typical Avengers thing with this movie, but I think he just should have. I think
he would have been able to if he'd been on the people within control of this movie from the very beginning.
From the jump. I mean,
it would have been like Justice League War. It would have been more like Justice League War.
I like Zack Snyder's directing style, and I would have wished he could have finished the movie, because I know it would have taken a whole different turn, and the movie would have been more like Batman v Superman. A lot darker, a lot grittier, but it would have been good. I would have loved to see a bit darker version of Superman. I would have loved to have seen the black suit. I would have loved to have seen Batman a little bit more grittier. I would have loved to have seen Steppenwolf just harsh.
Were we going to get the black suit from Zack Snyder?
I heard it was teased a lot. I mean, I've seen a lot
of... there were a lot of promotional pictures with the black suit. So yeah. I feel like we would... if there's an Ultimate Edition come out, you know, we'd probably get the black suit. However, I didn't actually mind the way Superman was. I actually kind of liked it. He felt more like Superman from the comics, more hopeful. Because he was, you know, he'd been through hell and back, essentially. Came out the other side more hopeful, and that'll tie into the Jesus notes later. But, you know, like, the way it was, it felt more like Superman. The Superman that I grew up with, the Superman that we were reading about in Justice League War, the Superman from post-crisis that is currently in Rebirth, like, all
definitely
of them.
Felt like the Superman that you read
the
about.
Superman.
The Superman. The true like, Superman. The main Superman that you read about. It definitely was. But, I mean, that brings us to the end credit scenes.
Was it the first one or the second one with Superman and Flash?
That was the first
one. The first one had Superman and the Flash. You know, they were talking about, like, oh, who's fastest. They were just, like, goofing around. And, you know, they did a race.
They didn't go to the Pacific Coast. It doesn't show us the outcome of the race. It just shows up, like, taking
it,
off.
It stops and it's the cover of the comic where they had the race. Like, it freeze frames in the pose that they were in the comic.
In the comic, yep. And then you have the second end credit scene.
I flipped when Lex Luthor was not in prison anymore. He had somebody else, and he was just there, and he hired Deathstroke. When Deathstroke walked in,
I had a complete nerdgasm.
Goodness. Like, I already forgot the actor's name. That's how impressed with, like, the suit look.
Oh, that suit was fantastic.
I don't even remember the actor's name. That's how good. Like,
Arkham Origins, the Batman video game, the suit kind of looked like that.
Yeah.
For Deathstroke. It was all beefed up. Deathstroke was older, too.
He looked like older. The ones from the comic instead of the show. He was good in the show, but like he looks like the Deathstroke from the comics.
Which does explain a lot. You know, Batman's been Batman for 20 years. It would explain Deathstroke being older. You know, Deathstroke's been around a lot longer. So I think this version of Deathstroke that we see is going to be great. And
he's going to have this quote-unquote super soldier serum that every comic book has. He has that in him, which allows him to kind of regenerate, which is why he looks so good and the age he is.
And Lex Luthor kind of says to him, like, okay, the superheroes, you know, Batman and Superman have their team. Now it's time for us to start ours.
The Legion of Doom.
The Legion of Doom, or the Injustice League, or the
whatever version you want to call it.
You can call it whatever they want. They got
called the Crime Syndicate. Don't call it the Crime Syndicate.
Call it the Crime Syndicate. I don't give a fart.
But we need the Ultraman and then Superwoman,
Johnny Quick. That would be cool to see. But
that'd be a difficult movie because then you know. Superman would have to play... You know, Henry Cavill would have to play two different characters.
Not necessarily. Because the versions of the Crime Syndicate, they don't necessarily, like... They don't look exactly the same. The costumes are close. The powers are close with small touch-ups. The costumes don't have to look exactly the same. They could kind of do it like... having, like, a stunt double play the other character. Like, they look alike, but they're not exactly the same. Because it would cause a bit of confusion. So, just looking alike. Would suffice it for me. It would be really a fun movie to see if they were to do that. But to go along with
back to the original story.
I'm guessing that this is going to be Justice League Part 2.
They're not doing a Part 2 anymore.
Oh, they're not?
The Part 2 was going to be for the, you know, original cut.
Gotcha.
The original cut with Zack Snyder had the plan of being a two-parter, where this movie would not end with the heroes winning, but instead being at a stalemate for them, the sequel to show up, and maybe the Green Lantern would have shown up there.
Potentially, yes. But now we're going to have a whole different movie then. So the second Justice League movie is just going to include some form of the Legion of Doom or the Injustice League. I mean, you already got Deathstroke and Lex Luthor. I'm assuming Lex Luthor will have a form of power armor in the movie. Deathstroke's going to be against Batman.
That would be cool.
Going to have to find some of the rogues from everybody else, you know, just to kind of square it off.
I'm just trying to imagine it, like, trying, like, Gorilla Grodd in there.
They do have a mention to Gorilla Grodd in the movie. Flash talks about his skills when Batman and him first meet, and he's talking about how he's fluent in sign language, or Gorilla Sign Language, which is a clear nod to Gorilla Grodd. He's in the universe. We don't know if he's Gorilla Grodd yet. We just know that there is.
I don't think he would be Gorilla Grodd yet, seeing that, again, Flash has not been around for too long, and he definitely hasn't fought.
Doesn't Gorilla Grodd, though, come from the same kind of time frame as Flash does, though? Like, the same amount of time?
They just kind of
pop up around the same time.
It depends on the universe.
This is true. Because we don't really know how entirely Flash got his powers. You know, we don't know if it was part of the particle accelerator explosion or...
Oh, no matter what, it's going to be tied into the Star Labs.
Yeah, so we're not 100% sure. They didn't really cover his origin. So we'll find out more later.
I'm just trying to picture that. Just like, imagine that. Like, if you had... It happened with Star Labs. Shouldn't Victor kind of like recognize him just a tad bit? Like, he wouldn't be around Star Labs for too long, but I'd imagine he'd be there if it was tied in that strongly.
If it was, he would have known, and that he doesn't know. So I'm assuming that it's not tied that directly to Star Labs. It could have been a cause from Star Labs, but it might not be a direct correlation.
Like from the show?
Yeah. I mean, that's all I have for the movie review.
At the end of the movie, Barry Allen finally becomes a CSI.
Yes, this is true.
He goes to visit his dad. This is one of the reasons why I thought like he was kind of on the spectrum, because the way he would talk to his father, he was very like kind of standoffish, afraid didn't really look him in the eyes. He would, like, tell him, but, like, the way he was, the way he was treated. But, like, he goes in and he says, I got a job. And he just shows it. And, you know, his dad's like, a job, job, yay. But, of course, Henry Allen is behind bars.
Right.
Just in case we didn't establish that this one.
He's been arrested. He's arrested. He's same reason, you know, his
every dad version of kills the Flash, his mother, every quote, version unquote. Of the Flash that he's in jail has that reason. So, yeah, that's the review portion of the Justice League movie. I was going to say the Flash movie, but it's not the Flash movie.
No, we just talk a lot about the Flash.
We talked a lot about the Flash. He was one of my favorite parts.
Definitely one of mine, too.
Him and Cyborg. But, okay, so as for my favorite part of the podcast, talking about Jesus. Woo! So within the movie, I've talked about how Superman was resurrected and, you know, he was kind of become more of a beacon of hope. And it brought me to think about Genesis 3:15. I have it here in front of me. And it says, the Lord said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than any livestock, more than any wild animal. You will move on your belly and eat the dust all of the days of your life. I will put hostility between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, he will strike your head, and you will strike his heel. That was more in reference to Doomsday and Superman's fight. I was using evil as an overarch, seeing that, you know, they were know that the evil was coming in Batman v Superman. Didn't know what, but they knew it was coming. See, Superman went in and killed Doomsday, but in the same vein, got killed. Before that, he wasn't really looked as a beacon of hope by everybody. For majority of the world, yes, but he was still put on trial a lot for the things that were caused. But coming out of it, you know, he kind of became more of a beacon of hope, which goes into, I believe it's Isaiah 53, because he suffered that wound, he may be a source of healing and hope for others. And that's kind of what happened. So in this case, it would make Batman one of the apostles. I know we talked about which ones each one would be last week with Batman being the crusader. But in this case, he is more like the apostle bringing everyone together. And honestly, in this case, not even one of the 12 apostles from the beginning, quote-unquote, of Jesus' ministry, but actually Paul, because he hated Superman. He viewed him as something evil in the world, similar to how Paul in the Bible was crucifying Christians for believing in a God. He would use dark tactics and stop. His name was Saul then. But then, once he saw the light, the name was changed to Paul, and he, you know, went over and, you know, talked to people and gathered more Christians and saved a lot of people through Jesus' name. Similar to what Batman does in this movie, where he grabs a bunch of people similar to him in the fact that they have the ability to fight crime. Not the fact that, you know, Batman's not... does not have any superpowers, so he's not like them in that sense, but he's like them in the fact that, you know, they want to save the day. So gathering them all kind of looks like one of the apostles, and that is where it goes. That's what happens. He brings back the light, brings back the hope, and through that, Superman is capable of bringing hope to the world once again. Yes, he did kind of do a freak out once he woke up and, you know, you didn't want me to live, now you won't let me die. But he did come back full around and became more of a hopeful Superman, as I talked about earlier. And that's really what it ties into with the Bible, having Superman always as the Jesus figure, bringing hope, bringing life. He doesn't have all the powers of Jesus, but nonetheless, it's a good analog and a good way of looking at it as a parable. So that is what I have for Jesus. I don't know if you have any questions for me based on what that is, because I know I continuously cut you off because I'm the one with the notes for Jesus.
No, it's okay. I mean, you did explain it well enough before we started and now as well. So if that's all you got, that's all I got. Stay tuned next week. We will probably talk a little bit about the DC Metal event. I know a couple of books have been released since last conversation.
The Batman, Batman Who Laughs came out. Yep, there's no more speculation on what that is. Yep. We might talk about that. We most likely 100% will talk about that. As for the other storylines we talk about, I will either be talking about Mouse Guard, which hysterically enough, I've talked to people, and it was in a lot of people's what's it called, school curriculum. Or the American Alien Superman story.
And I'm probably going to end up talking about the Thor God of Thunder storyline. That's kind of what I've been reading right now. Since there's no movies that have come out or really have any plans to be coming out anytime soon, we don't really have much of a curriculum to be going off of. So it's kind of just going to be our picks. I mean, if you guys have any picks, what you want to hear us talk about,
go right over to my website, mb-3d.com, /AgentBlue. If you go to the website, it'll be right there. And go and comment in here, this podcast, what you would like to hear about, what you would like us to cover in this podcast.
If you don't, we're just going to talk about whatever we feel like, which for me right now is going to be Thor, and for Michael is whatever he wants to talk about. That's for us here at Agent Blue. I'm George.
I'm Michael. And peace.